Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, just over a year ago, I was sitting in the hygienist's chair at my dentist, and I was having my regular 6-monthly checkup, and the hygienist had a conversation to herself, because you can't speak when you're in that situation, can you? And she said to me, "I hope you don't mind the radio. I love this channel because it's got all the traditional Christmas music." So I said, "That's fine." And I was expecting traditional Christmas music. Hark the herald angels sing, Away in a Manger, Once in Royal David's City. You know the kind of thing. What we got instead was Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and all those kind of things. And in the whole hour that I was sitting there, I didn't hear one Christian carol. There was no mention of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, or wise men. And I was left wondering, if an alien arrived on this planet and wanted to find out what Christmas was all about, what impression would they leave with? If they wandered into a church, maybe they would find out what it's about. But it left me with the question, what has happened to our Christian Christmas? And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is really our own fault. Because over the years, we have said, it isn't Christmas until December the 25th. And we're going to observe Advent. And Advent has traditionally been about the last things of life. Jesus' second coming, death, judgment, heaven, hell, all that kind of thing. And that's reflected in the readings that we've just had. But by focusing on Advent, and it may be that over the years you've heard many clergy say, well, we shouldn't be singing carols until December the 25th, or maybe the 24th. We won't put up any decorations till Christmas Eve. And our celebration as Christians begins on the 25th of December and not before. Continues for 12 days, depending which church tradition you belong to, maybe even longer to Candlemas. But the fact is that the rest of the world is celebrating Christmas and preparing for it now. They've probably started after Thanksgiving. In Britain, where I come from, they don't wait until Thanksgiving because we don't do that. And Christmas begins earlier and earlier every year, and the shops are full of things from September onwards. So Christmas is changing in the way that our culture is observing it. And we as a church are somewhat out of touch with a culture which years ago we used to dominate, because we were all church-going people in our Western countries. Now the reality is that we're not. And what does Christmas mean to people who don't go to church? And have we failed to get our message out to people? It's not entirely true that we ignore Christmas as a church until December the 25th. We have, after all, been holding a Christmas fair here a couple of weeks ago, I think. We're selling Christmas trees every chance we get at the moment. But are we engaging properly with the culture that is ready to hear about Christmas now? Or are we spending too much time thinking we're in Advent and we're doing other things? Which led me to the question, why do we celebrate Christmas on December the 25th? After all, the one thing we can be certain about, the date of Jesus' birthday, it wasn't December the 25th. And how do we know that? Because the shepherds were out in the fields watching their flock by night. In the Middle East, they don't do that in the middle of winter. They do it in the lambing season, which begins about March and goes on until September. And the reason we have Christmas in December is that early Christians in Northern Europe decided to take over pagan midwinter festivals and Christianize them and make them something specially Christian. So Christmas on December is because our early Christians decided to engage with the culture that was all around them. And maybe it's time for us to reevaluate how we approach Christmas and how we engage with the culture to give them the message. Now, I think there is a second reason why our world ignores the Christian story. And it's because of the way we tell it. We tell it to children, and we make it okay for children, because we miss out the unpleasant bits. And the result is that it comes over rather like a romantic fairy tale. I'm probably going to be embarrassed saying this when it gets to December the 24th, but what about the way we do Christmas pageants? Does that make it more like a nice romantic fairy tale? We leave out the difficult bits and the unpleasant bits. Now, I would have a fair guess, looking around at the congregation this evening, that a good number of you have at one stage given birth. Yeah, I'm right, aren't I? I wonder how many of you, when you were approaching having your first child, ever said, "Let's do it in a stable." Having a baby in a stable, it'll be so romantic. Did anyone here say that? I bet you didn't. But it is the most grim situation you could imagine, isn't it? There's this young woman who's travelled, I forgot to look up the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem, but it's probably several days' journey, even on the back of a donkey. It's a grim journey for somebody who is heavily pregnant and then finding nowhere where she is welcome and having to give birth in a stable. It's horrific, isn't it? And then the shepherds. We have this lovely, wonderful picture of them out there on the hills looking after their flock. The shepherds are the real outcasts of Jewish society. They're dirty, unpleasant people who live out there with their sheep, and nobody wants to know you if you're a shepherd. That was the reality in first century Bethlehem. And Jesus appears to the outcasts of society and those who are not always nice people. And then there's King Herod. What is his reaction? A cruel and despotic ruler, a man who slaughtered most of his own family because he was threatened by them. He heard of the birth of a king, and his reaction was to say, "I must stamp this out." And to make sure that that king never grew up, he had every child in the Bethlehem and the surrounding area put to death. We don't tell that bit of the story, do we? And to avoid it, Jesus and his family fled as refugees and lived in Egypt until he was probably 8 or 9 years old. We can't be certain how many years. And in passing, I might note that there's another sermon for another day there about the plight of refugees. People who flee for their life to avoid persecution, who have to live in a foreign land where they know no one, where they may often feel unwelcome. Jesus knew all about that firsthand, and I wonder what he would say about our attitude towards refugees today. But that's another sermon for another day. My point today is that we so often romanticize the Christmas story that it loses its power. And children grow up, and as they become adults, if they're not coming to church, if they're not engaging with the scriptures, if they're not being taught the faith, what they're left with is the idea that Christmas and Christianity is all a lot of fairy tales and nothing to be taken too seriously. And it's our fault, because we fail to get the real message of Christmas over, which is not just about a baby being born in a stable. It's about the Son of God coming to earth, living as a human being, to work for our redemption, to be our saviour, to set us free from the burdens of sin, to put us back in a right relationship with God, and to give us an example to follow, an example which can challenge all our assumptions, it can change our values, it can change the way we live. And so as we begin this season of Advent, a season of preparation to celebrate the coming of Jesus, let's make sure that our portrayal of Christ does not lose its power, and we present Christ as our Saviour and Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so let us stand, if we're able, and turn to the Nicene Creed and declare the faith of the Church together. We believe in one God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them, take our hearts and speak to them, that each of us may hear your word today, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. I think you've probably worked out by now who I am. Father Hugh James, your interim priest until a new rector is appointed, and it's great to be here with you. And thank you to all of you who've reached out and given expressions of welcome, and a wonderful hamper awaited Susan and me when we arrived in the rectory, full of all the kind of goodies that she doesn't normally let me eat. So thank you for that. Now, just over a year ago, I was sitting in my chair at the dentist's, and the hygienist was doing my regular 6-monthly cleanup. And it's a situation where you can't say anything. You're at the mercy of the hygienist because she's working in your mouth. And she said, "I hope you don't mind the radio, but I love this channel. It's got all the traditional music for Christmas, and they don't play anything else." And I thought, well, what am I going to hear? Traditional Christian music. I was expecting Hark the Herald Angels, Away in a Manger, Once in Royal David City, and all that kind of thing. What I heard instead was Jingle Bells, Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and all those kind of things. And in the whole hour that I was sitting there, I didn't hear one Christmas carol, or Christian carol. I didn't hear any mention of Jesus, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, wise men, or angels. And it left me wondering, what if an alien were to land his spaceship on this planet and try to ask, what is Christmas all about? What impression would that alien have? If he happened to wander into a church, he might have a different impression. But the impression he would get from our society in general, I don't know. And it left me asking, what has happened to our Christian celebration of Christmas. And then I had another thought. Isn't it our own fault that the message of Jesus' birth is not out there? And I think there are two main reasons for this. One is that we focus on Advent and traditional Advent themes. And Advent, as you know, is all about coming. Jesus coming, preparing for Christmas. But so often, its focus in the past has been not about Jesus coming at Christmas, but Jesus coming a second time, at the end of time. Hence all the readings that we've had this morning. And those traditional themes of Advent are judgment, last things, heaven, hell, eternal life, and so on. And as a church, we have tended to say, Christmas begins on December the 25th. So we're not going to sing any carols until the 25th. Well, maybe the 24th. I was brought up, and my mother would never allow us to put up any Christmas decorations until the afternoon of Christmas Eve. And there's something of that attitude which still exists in our church. Christmas doesn't begin until it begins, and we celebrate it then. We continue until January the 6th, or Candlemas, depending what tradition you belong to. And the rest of the world is out of step with us. They started Christmas sometime after Thanksgiving, maybe even earlier. And if you come from Britain like me, we don't have Thanksgiving, and so there's nothing to happen before Christmas, and Christmas things are in the shops from September onwards, as soon as the kids are back at school. Anyway, the world around us is celebrating Christmas when we're still preparing for it. And we're out of touch with the culture around us. And we're not engaging with it as well as we might. We used to dominate the culture, but now we follow it. And it's not entirely true that we're not engaging with it. We do. Was it about 2 weeks ago this church had its Christmas fair? We're selling Christmas trees at any opportunity we get. And you need to get them soon if you haven't, because they may be all gone, by the way. But we do some things preparing for Christmas, but we're missing out on the opportunity of sharing our story with the world outside our doors. Have you ever wondered why we celebrate Christmas on December the 25th? Well, there's one thing you can be sure of, that December the 25th was not Jesus' birthday. And why do we know that? Because the shepherds were out in the fields watching their flock by night. And in the Holy Land, that's not when shepherds are out in their fields watching their flock by night. That happens sometime from March to September. So, Jesus wasn't born in December, was he? And the reason we celebrate Christmas in December is that early Christians decided to take over pagan festivals and make them Christian. Celebrating the middle of winter, seeking light in the midst of darkness, you can see why that theme fits so easily with Christmas, the light coming into the world and all that kind of imagery. We took over those festivals and we Christianized them. When we established Christmas, however many hundreds of years ago, we engaged with the culture around us and we took it over. And maybe it's time for us to reevaluate and re-engage with the culture that is around us and rethink the way we prepare for Christmas. Now, there's a second reason why I think the world ignores our Christian story. And that is because when we tell it like a romantic fairy tale. We dress it all up and we make tinsely Christmas cards and pictures of it. We romanticize it And we do exactly the same with our children's patterns. I'm going to be embarrassed, I suspect, in a few weeks, having said that. But we make it a romantic story, don't we? And we forget the difficult and unpleasant bits. Now, looking around the congregation, I suspect that there are a few people here who've given birth. Am I right? Yeah? There's a pretty fair bet in the congregation of this size. Now, I wonder how many of you, when you had your first baby, ever said, "Let's have it in a stable. Let's do it in a stable. It'll be so romantic." You didn't, did you? You wouldn't dream of it, because the last place in the world you would want to have your baby is in a stable. Is that the image we give when we tell the Christmas story? We've made it into such a romantic, lovely scene with the manger, and yet it is a story of appalling rejection, that a woman who is so heavily pregnant has travelled because of the need for the census. I forgot to look up how many miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Brian will probably be able to tell me off the top of his head. But it's several days' ride on a donkey. Now, you're doing that heavily pregnant. You're giving birth in a stable. It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we romanticise it. And then the shepherds out in the fields. They're the dregs of society in those days. They're dirty, unwashed, unwelcome people. And the people that Jesus appeared to first are the dregs of society, the unwanted and the unwelcome. And then what about the reaction of the authorities? King Herod, a cruel and despotic ruler. He slaughtered most of his family, by the way, in case they ever threatened to take his place. And because he had news of a possible king being born in Bethlehem, he had every child under the age of 2 slaughtered to make sure that king didn't survive. Now, do we put that into our Christmas story? Because it's part of it. And then Jesus fled to avoid that, with his parents to Egypt. So he grew up, at least until the age of 8 or 9, we don't really know when, but roughly then, he grew up as a refugee, fleeing persecution and living in a foreign country. And so when we read about refugees and hear of their plight today, it's often worth remembering Jesus would have known about that firsthand. And what does that say to the way we treat refugees today? But that's another sermon for another day. My point today is that we romanticize the story and we tell it like a fairy tale. And because of that, it loses its power. Children may love it, but as they grow up and become adults, if they're not hearing the scriptures, if they're not worshipping with the church, they will grow up thinking that all Christianity has to offer is a collection of nice romantic stories. And they miss the point that Christmas is not about a baby being born in a stable. It's about God loving humankind so much that he came to live among us, to redeem us, to save us, to set us back in a right relationship with God, to set us free from sin. And when he took human form, being born in poor, humble surroundings, to be our Saviour and Redeemer, giving us an example to follow, an example which will challenge all our assumptions about the way we live and can change our values. So, as we spend this Advent preparing for Christmas, let's not let our portrayal of Christ lose its power because we romanticize it. And let's present to the world our Lord and Saviour coming to redeem us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.